Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Anything making news today, or maybe something you've been working on? Dr. Mixon, you've been in the longevity laboratory cooking up something for for cognition.
Cognition, yes. Brain function.
Yes, we want our brains, that's for sure.
The mad scientist with a white coat.
Crazy hat.
Yeah, got it.
Mixing things. All the healthy things.
All the smoke and the fumes rising from the chest tubes. As I cackle madly. Anyway, now mostly my research is in the medical literature. It's a lot safer. I don't blow anything up that way, or That's spill good. Stuff on my $100 shirts and have it get sudden holes in it. I've been looking a lot at cognitive function, brain function for human beings these days, and. I came up a few months ago with a cognitive supplement designed for people 40 and up, because as we're aging, our acetylcholine levels in our brain are declining, and we also tend, oddly enough, as appetites change with aging, not to get enough of xanthines and lutein, lycopene in our bloodstream. So I came up with a supplement that has actually been shown in peer-reviewed studies to improve cognitive function in people over 40. It's not designed to treat dementia per se. So if you're overtly demented, we need to get you on over to Longevity Medical Clinic, not to a supplement. But if you're just concerned that as you're aging, you're starting to get a little forgetful and you're noticing that things are not quite as sharp as they used to be, then this is a great supplement for you. One of my concerns was I don't want people taking supplements just to be taking the supplement. I want them to take it if it works, if it helps them. So I've been looking for testing that they can do to prove to themselves that it works. I had found one previously that was done by a third party. The worry there is your data is being held by someone else. They know who you are. They know where you are. They have your email. And, how secure are their servers? But I recently found one that I think is really nice. It's called the Boston Cognitive Assessment. It is downloaded. It's an app you can download to your phone. You take it in your own home, on your phone, takes about 10 minutes to do, and it gives you a computerized instant report. And the only person who gets your report is you. No one else is storing your data. And it's a study that's designed to be taken many times, over and over, so that you take it, say, every week or every month, so that over time you can see whether you're getting better or not. And whether you're getting worse or not. So I think it's a really nice test. All you do is you go to the App Store. I know Apple App Store carries it. I suspect the Android one does too, although frankly I haven't looked. And you just type in Boston Cognitive Assessment, download the app, and you can take the test. It's real simple. And that got me thinking about, okay, now I know that I can help the vast majority of people over 40 that are getting normal age-related cognitive decline. What about kids?
Mm-hmm.
We all want our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids to be as smart as possible. Mm-hmm. How do we help children function as well as possible? That became my next challenge. And though, even though I'm an aging longevity doctor, I'm now taking a look at the other end because I've got grandkids and great-grandkids, and now I've got a 12-year-old at home, you know, with a few 76-year-olds with a 12-year-old. So, you know, what can we do for them? Mm. So I went all the way back to pregnancy.
Okay.
Are there things we can do as that little tiny person in utero is forming to give them the best brain possible?
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out there are things we can do for mom
mm-hmm.
that will improve baby's function,
mm-hmm.
which is really kind of neat.
Mm.
Okay. The vast bulk of that child's brain is made up of a fatty acid called DHA. And the DHA, they get from their mom. So if you supplement mom with omega-3 fatty acids, fish oil,
yeah.
krill oil, whichever one you want to give mom, but you give it to her throughout the pregnancy, the baby's brain will be the same size initially as kids that did not get supplemented in utero. But fascinating, by the time these kids are in preschool, they're doing better than kids whose moms did not get supplemented.
Hmm.
So you can actually have children at 3, 4, 5 years older are functioning better if they got DHA in the uterus.
Hmm.
So what you do for mom really does count for that child's IQ. It is significantly higher in preschool and kindergarten than
yeah.
kids that didn't get supplemented.
Hmm.
You know, that kid, when he's born, his brain is going to be about 1/4,
yeah.
25% the size of an adult brain. But over that next 5 years, it's going to grow to be 80%. Or say 90% the size of an adult brain by 5 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
So during that very rapid growth, are there things we can do to enhance the development of this rapidly growing brain? And it turns out there are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they are, again, DHA. You want to keep the kid on their fish oil, and you want to add lutein and zeaxanthin.
Mm-hmm.
Those three things optimize the child's brain function.
Wow.
Okay. And then by the time they start school, by age 7, you make a switch. You don't need so much DHA anymore because the brain has already reached effectively their adult size by the time they're about 7 or 8 years old. So then you just need the lutein zeaxanthin to provide membrane stability and allow the brain to function at its best during their adolescent and early 20s.
Okay.
Then by the time people get around 35 or so,
yeah.
we start to decrease the production of acetylcholine in our brains. And so what we need to do then is to be supplemented with a little acetylcholine, which is sold as citicoline. Citicoline is converted rapidly in our bodies to acetylcholine to improve brain function in our 40s. And then by our 50s, we are now having to add the acetylcholine and the lutein zeaxanthin again that we needed in children.
Right.
We need it again in maturity.
Yeah.
And so citicoline, lutein, zeaxanthin for 50 and up. Then,
but okay. Wait, there's more.
Wait, there's more. That's right. Studies in women. Now, I don't have studies in men on this, and I really wish someone would do one for us. But it turns out women's blood flow to their brain declines in their 50s.
Yes.
But there is a compound called resveratrol
mm-hmm.
that increases the blood flow in a woman's brain.
Mm.
In her 50s and 60s, back to more youthful blood flow.
Mm-hmm.
So they should be on the citicoline, lutein, zeaxanthin, and resveratrol
okay.
from 50s up for women. I suspect we men have the same issue. I suspect that our blood flow to our brain is going down just like the women. It's just for some bizarre reason, they only had women in that study.
Hmm. So, okay.
okay. Hmm. So anyway, we now have formulations for before birth, to supplement mom all the way up to 90 years old.
Yeah.
That we can use to optimize our normal brain function at every single stage of life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. No wonder he's excited.
Yes. You can see this. You can see this.
Yeah. So now I'm in the process of putting all of these stages together.
Yeah.
As supplements that we can market.
That's great.
Wonderful.
Everybody from pregnant women all the way up to 90-year-olds.
Yeah, awesome. In utero all the way up. From the cradle to, yes, there
that's
it goes.
Right. That's right. I mean, I've heard you say before, you know, if the brain doesn't work, the rest doesn't matter.
Well, not if the brain don't work, the rest don't matter. Okay.
That's right.
So I want everybody's brain functioning as well as possible, as long as possible.
Right.
Very good. Ah, what a strong start to the show today. Leading Edge Medicine. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to dive into some phone calls because those phones are blinking. And we will take Ray's question first when we return with Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. Stay right there.
Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5.
I love that movie. It was so fun.
So much fun.
As
oh,
a boss,
boy.
I ought to be offended.
Yes.
Because the boss in that movie was a real jerk. But it was still cute.
Besides, a fun movie.
Yeah. And you know, those three ladies were just a delight.
I'd love to see them redo that now that they're, you know, retired 9 to 5. You know, yeah. They got all three of them still. Let's get a remake
That's
done.
Right.
Yeah, with what their life is now. Good morning, Leading Edge Medicine here with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat taking your calls. And we are headed to Tacoma. Ray has a question for you. Hi there, Ray.
Hello, Ray. How do we help?
How are you doing, Doc? I recently had my physical, yearly physical. Mm-hmm. I'm 76. And the only thing that I was concerned about is the doctor said I had poor circulation in my feet. Mm-hmm. Now, he didn't seem too concerned about that. Should I be?
Well, he's not concerned about it because they're not his feet.
Ah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Now, should I be concerned? I mean, what?
Yes, or your feet, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know.
You need those.
You need them, and hopefully, you know, you're going to use them another 30 years. So, we want to get the best circulation we can. Okay, step one. Let's find out why and where the blockage is. Why are you getting poor circulation in your feet?
Yeah, why did he say that? Are you having swelling? Do you have change in color? Do you have numbness? What do you have?
None of the above. He was doing, checking the pulse of my neck, my groin.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't get a good pulse in my feet, and he mentioned that. But he went on with the how quick you go through those things.
Mm-hmm.
But I started thinking about it later. Well, should I be concerned about that? I mean, or what can I do about it?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Well, what we want to do, obviously, is to give you the best circulation everywhere in your body, including your feet. But heart and brain are probably the two most important.
Mm-hmm.
But feet, yeah, I never want to leave my feet behind when I go anywhere.
So you'd be shorter, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I do a lot of walk.
Good.
I do a lot of walking and stuff like that, but I haven't noticed any problems, you know.
Yeah. Well, walking is important because even if your main vessels were getting a little narrowed and plugged, the walking helps you to develop collateral circulation. You will grow new blood vessels even in our elderly years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is the first time I've heard you call yourself elderly, Dr.
In
Mixon.
Our elderly years. That's right.
It's a first, yes.
It is a first.
Yes.
Well, I can do something about it, sounds like.
Yes, you can. And here's the approach that Dr. Mixon takes for his 76-year-old blood vessels, right? First of all,
right.
You want to keep the endothelium, the lining of the blood vessels, as flexible as possible. And that means you want to make sure you have plenty of good polyphenols and still beans in your diet. And those are things like resveratrol, quercetin, fistin, all of those things. So one of the best things to maintain blood flow is resveratrol. And so I use about 1,000 milligrams of resveratrol every day. I take 350 milligram resveratrol capsules. I take 2 in the morning and 1 in the evening.
You know, we used to make 200 milligram resveratrol capsules. When he found out the research, he came and within months we had the 350 milligrams. He said, I'm not going to take 5 capsules. We're going to make more.
Okay. That's right.
Yes. So these are a little bigger, but it's 350 milligrams per capsule. And they're the biggest ones on the market, I think. They're good. And then you want to keep your nitric oxide levels as high as practical and use good vasodilators. So one thing is a PDE5 inhibitor, tadalafil. You know, tadalafil is typically written for erectile dysfunction, but it turns out that it increases blood flow everywhere in your body. It increases the blood flow to your brain, your muscles, including your kidneys and your feet. So I put most of the men that I have seen over the last umpteen years, in fact, women too, I put males and females on at least 5 milligrams of tadalafil a day.
Yeah.
And that's a good, consistent dose for most people.
Right. So that's for vasodilatation.
Right.
But if they're deficient in nitric oxide, we do recommend either Neo-4Ds or Vasconox, but we do measure them in our office.
Yes. And I personally use the Neo-4D.
Yeah.
And Neo-4D is a little lozenge. It's chewable, and it just increases nitric oxide production. So you get two hits. The tadalafil prevents you from getting rid of nitric oxide as quickly, and the Neo-4D helps you to make more nitric oxide. And that combination dilates the blood vessels everywhere in your body.
Yeah.
So that you get better blood flow everywhere.
Right.
Improves exercise tolerance, you don't fatigue as quickly, you get better brain flow, better lung flow, better kidney flow, better muscle flow, and as a added benefit, better erectile function.
Yeah.
So
you know. I was going to say, isn't that some kind of ED problem thing?
Well, that's what it was originally designed for, but it turns out it does so much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, but you know, I give it to guys who don't have an ED problem. So if as a side effect of taking their tadalafil, they happen to have even better erections, that's a plus. You know, that's not a negative. And here's a fun thing. It cuts the risk of prostate cancer in half. Tadalafil helps to prevent prostate cancer. So that's, you know, that's a real plus for men. It also slows the growth of a large number of cancers, including breast cancer in women.
Hmm.
So, you know, most guys will say, well, most doctors, we don't give tadalafil for women. They don't have a penis. Well, no, they don't. But they have breasts, they have a brain, they have heart and kidneys
vessels,
and muscles
yeah.
and blood vessels.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, why not let them get the benefits too?
And then if you're trying to do something in diet, you know, things like beets mm-hmm. really improve blood flow as well.
They
so
do
beets
indeed.
Are a good thing to eat. And also there are companies that make beet supplements
mm-hmm.
and chewables.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
So those are all good possibilities.
Okay. Well, that answers my question.
I guess one other thing is if you're tending to have higher blood pressure than normal, you do want to control that quickly and keep
yes.
it as close to normal as you possibly can.
Yep.
You mean from those supplements?
Well, no. If you have high blood pressure.
Yeah.
What she's saying is when they check your blood pressure, if it's elevated, you need to go on something to get it down because high blood pressure ages the blood vessels prematurely. The higher your pressure, the faster your blood vessels tend to go bad.
Well, I do have high blood pressure, but, you know, it's controlled with Lisinopril. I take Lisinopril.
Lisinopril? Yeah, Lisinopril is a perfectly good drug.
Yeah.
Okay, so I could take those supplements even with that?
You can. Again, you know, you don't want to drop your pressures too low. And tadalafil and nitric oxide are blood pressure lowers. And, you know, I run into that problem once in a while. I take so darn much of it that once in a while, if I've been sitting too long, if I stand up, I get dizzy. I have to stop and put my head down for 10 seconds to let the blood flow get back in my brain. So my blood pressure in those days is dropping a little too low. The trick is to keep your blood pressure as low as you can without getting dizzy.
Right.
And on those days that I get a little dizzy, I know I've dropped it too low.
Mm-hmm. I see. So what milligrams would that be for a real low, 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 low dose?
Well, of which?
Well, the tadalafil.
Oh, tadalafil. Well, they make a 5, and you can break that in half and get a 2. Take 2.5
yeah,
a day.
Yeah, they come in 2.5 also.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 2.5. They make 2.5, 5, 10, and 20.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, I appreciate you answering my question.
All right. Take care, sir. Bye bye.
All right. Thank you so much for that. We're going to go to break here in just a couple of minutes. We'll come back with Terry's question. Terry is calling from Seattle. And if you have a question for the doctors, here is that number. It's 206-421-5757. Oh, just got a little choked up there. Wow.
Oh.
206. Good thing I'm surrounded by doctors. 206-421-5757. Now, we do have a special day coming up. It is Heart Month, the month of May. Dr. Umat, tell us about the May 9th Heart Health Day, because I know it's filling up and in some clinics
well,
already
I
sold
can
out.
Tell you that when you come in to the office on May 9th, any office you come to, be prepared to see a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so happy and so excited about it. My
yes.
team was asking me, it's going to be busy, you know. And I said, well, that is good, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, yes.
So there'll be a lot of people around. We're offering this to anybody who is not a longevity patient. Longevity patients, please do this test on another day. What we're doing is the Cleveland Heart Panel. Cleveland Lab is the Center for Excellence for Heart Disease Detection. And this is a simple blood test that looks at lots of parameters about their cholesterol, not just the total value of the triglycerides and cholesterol, but what are the fractions, what are the sizes, is there plaque buildup, is there inflammation in the lining, how much of the LDL is damaged, what are the apolipoproteins, what is lipoprotein A, which is a genetic risk, and then again, the customized version is the omegas, which tells us about omega-3 and omega-6s and their relationship. So tons and tons and tons of information, and our doctors will go over that test result with you. But if you know that cholesterol or cholesterol problems run in your family or you personally are suffering from it, then don't be satisfied with just knowing what your total cholesterol and LDL cholesterol is, because it does not give you anywhere near the risk profile that you need.
Yeah, this is a panel that's normally just done by cardiologists, in people that come in with heart disease. And we're going to get it for you. So you don't have to have a cardiologist. You just need to stop by Longevity Medical Clinic. Well, call first.
Yes, you do need an appointment.
And come on in and we'll get your test done.
Come in fasting.
That's right. And the as you make your appointment, they'll give you some more information too. It's the Heart Health Day, May 9th. That's a Thursday. But some clinics are pretty full, so we may sneak you in on Wednesday or I think Wednesday was the only day that we could do that. So here's the number to call to make that appointment for the Heart Health Day this Thursday, May 9th. The number to call to schedule your appointment is 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. And Terry, we're going to talk with you about the heart in just a moment. Stay tuned. Joel for you, and I think he's coming to our Seattle area very soon. I have friends that kind of had concert tickets to that, so ooh, we should have a booth. The Billy Joel concert with all the people, and the Rolling Stones concert coming in at the end of this month. That would be a good thing. Come visit the longevity, yeah. So you don't look like the guys on the stage. We want you to feel good. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Very good morning to you. I'm Lynette. Dr. Samira Umat here and Dr. Jerry Mixon. And we have Terry from Seattle on the line. Thank you, Terry, for calling in today. How can we help?
Good morning, doctors Mixon, Umat, and Lynette. This is Terry. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Sibling of mine has been diagnosed with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, HCM, which runs in families.
Yep.
My understanding is the May 9 Cleveland Heart Lab test offers biomarkers predictive of cardiovascular risks. Mm-hmm. So here's my question. In addition to having an echocardiogram and an ECG done at a cardiologist's office, would the May 9 test be helpful for additional HCM diagnostic purposes? Thank you.
Not for diagnostic purposes. The diagnosis of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is basically an ultrasound where you actually watch the heart move, and you can see those ventricles opening and contracting, pumping blood each time. And hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, let me explain this to the vast majority of our audience that knows nothing about it. It's a genetically coded condition. It does run in families, goes generation to generation. Most people are not aware that they have it unless they get symptoms, shortness of breath, fatigue, chest pain with exercise, that sort of thing. And what's happening is the wall of the main pumping chambers is growing thicker. And as it gets thick, it also gets stiff. And so as it's getting stiffer and stiffer, it doesn't contract and then expand as well. And so each beat of your heart pumps less and less blood. And that's the underlying pathology. The question, of course, is to how to keep that heart as malleable, as flexible as possible. And, for that, we don't have really great studies of anything that shows for sure that there is a good treatment. They basically just monitor these people over time with serial echocardiograms and hope that it's not going to be a problem. Now, sometimes if it's the upper part of that chamber that is getting bad, then you'll start getting some valvular disease. You can get aortic valve disease or mitral valve disease. And those, then if the valves start to leak or become stenotic, that is, they get narrowed so that the blood can't squirt out as easily, that again can increase the pressure in the heart and result in even more hypertrophy. Mm. So some of these people have to end up having heart valve replacements. Others are on vasodilators, anything we can do to make the heart relax as much as possible and to decrease the pressure in the rest of the system. Because if the heart is having to pump blood against resistance, then it's less efficient. So you want all of your peripheral vasculature to be as open and pliable and healthy as possible so the heart is not trying to pump against excess resistance and you get better blood flow. No real cure at this point.
Hmm. So so based on what you said, this May 9 test would not serve as diagnostic purpose, but in this situation, would it still help me to detect? Okay.
Yeah, because what it will do, we'll talk to you about the propensity to form plaque out in the whole rest of your body. Okay, the more plaque, the more narrowing you've got in your arteries, the higher the pressure the heart has to generate to push the adequate blood flow past those narrowed vessels. So, it's a good test to tell you about the general health of your cardiovascular tree, but it's not aimed specifically at the cardiomyopathy. Okay, that one is diagnosed purely with the ultrasound. But what we are interested in is what is the rest of the pressure problems in your blood vessels, and how do we keep the rest of your arterial tree as healthy and pliable as possible?
Okay, it's great that Longevity Medical Clinics is offering such a test. I'm going to make an appointment. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your call, Terry. Let's see here. We have about 19 minutes away from 11 o'clock. We are going to take a little ferry maybe and head to Ballard. And we've got Bob on the line.
Interesting ferry ride.
Well, okay, maybe just a boat ride. How about that?
Right up 405?
I think so. Yeah. We're going to take a boat to you, Bob, in Ballard. Hi there. Good morning. Welcome.
Help, sir.
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
We hear you just fine.
Okay, here's the thing. I got a two-tier question, and my question is related to just like what the lady you just had on. And the thing that they did for me, I usually walk, the last 10 years or so, I walk usually about 2 miles every morning. Unless, the weather's really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so it got to the point that I had to stop walking. Before, I could just keep walking. So I had to stop a few times. So then I went to the doctor, Swedish doctor, and what they did to me, they said, you're in worse shape than you think. And I said, oh, my God, how bad? They said, you need a transcatheter aortic valve replacement, TAVR.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they put this in me last year, the 24th of July, and that made a world of difference. Now when I walk, mm-hmm. I do not have to stop at all.
Mm-hmm.
And
good.
I'm wondering, I read this medical things from different places, and it says here, contrary to popular belief, stents are unlikely to benefit you. Spinal fusions are more effective than physical therapy. And they say, another one I read said, stents are things of the past. The trouble is they clog up faster than they are supposed to. So that's my first question, Doc. I'd like to hear that. And I have a second question related to that. If you can take that question after you answer first one.
Let me ask you a question first. Stents have very little to do with your valvular disease.
They did that for aortic stenosis for you.
Yes.
So
it's something different.
Completely different.
Okay.
So why the concern of stents?
Do you have high cholesterol? Do you have heart disease?
Do you have angina with exercise? What's going on?
No, I exercise a lot and I walk a lot and I got a room full of exercise equipment. Uh-huh. I do that almost every day also. My
good
cholesterol is a little bit high. My blood pressure is usually 110 over 70, so uh-huh. The blood pressure is not the problem.
Okay. Well, see, let me do a little pontificating here so that some of the folks that don't really understand what we're talking about. This gentleman sounds like aortic stenosis. The the aortic valve is at the top of the heart, and it's where the heart pumps the blood out into the system, into your whole body. And as that valve can get narrowed, it can tighten down, so the opening is getting smaller and smaller. And so what they had to do was to put a new valve in so his heart could pump blood efficiently.
Right.
Okay, that was his problem. Now, after this break, we'll get back and chat about the rest.
Okay, stents and valves. What's the difference? There's a big one. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment as Leading Edge Medicine continues and taking your calls. Get your call on the queue at 206-421-5757. We'll be right back.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started into hum. Still, it's a real good bet. The best is yet to come.
The best is yet to come. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning. My name is Lynette here with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon. Did you pick that song out for us?
No, I didn't.
You just like that one?
I do like that song.
Yeah.
I always think of Bandine when that song gets played.
Oh.
Because ever since she came in my life 20 years ago, everything that I have touched has turned to gold.
No.
She is my feng shui, my positive feng shui. So, yes.
There you go.
She walked in my life and everything got brighter and happier and more prosperous. And, you know, I tackle everything I do now with a light heart and happiness.
Very good. Yep. I like that. Leading Edge Medicine here. We're talking with Bob on the line about the differences between the valve replacement he had and stents.
Yeah. Well, stents are different in that this is where the arteries, usually in the heart, is where we do stents, although we can do stents now in the aorta and large peripheral vessels. But it's where a vessel in the heart is getting narrowed and the blood supply is getting embarrassed so that part of the heart muscle is not getting enough blood anymore. Now, in the bad old days, we actually had to crack his chest open and stop his heart and go in and graft a new vessel around that blockage. Now they just put a catheter in the artery in your wrist or your brachial artery and they run it up into the heart and they put in this little expandable mesh they thread it through the narrow spot, and then they expand the mesh. And it presses the artery open and lets blood flow through. Now, in the early days, those were basically just a metal mesh. And blood flowing against that metal often had fibrin formation, and you would get clot would form. And so sometimes those stents would only last a matter of months before they start blocking off, which was a real problem. But now they use drug-eluting stents. They have stents that actually have anticoagulants, anti-clotting factors built right into the mesh so that as the blood flows through, it's actually picking up non-clotting components from the mesh itself. And so they can go long periods of time and stay open. I know people have had stents in 5, 6, 10 years, and they're still just going strong and having no problems at all. So that's really kind of nice.
Yes.
And since most of the people that get these stents tend to be older to start with, you know, if you're 80 years old and you get a stent and it lasts you another 10 or 15 years, you're doing just fine.
Yeah, that's good. Is that helpful for you, Bob?
Yeah, just one question. I'm sure. Just turned 79, mm-hmm. and I was athletic. I was in a lot of sports and everything. Mm-hmm. The other one, the last question is this. I've been giving blood to a southern part in the Puget Sound for the mm-hmm. last 14 years, and everything was okay. And I was ready to give the blood. The last time I gave blood, whole blood, was mm-hmm. January this year. And then in March, I went back to give them blood again, and that company down south, you probably know, I'm not going to name any of them, they close their doors. Mm-hmm. So then they says to me, since you live closer to Seattle, then why don't you go to the one that's downtown? I won't mention their name either. So I says, okay. And so I told them exactly what happened, where I used to go down in the south. They closed their doors. And then I registered, and they gave me back the analysis. And they said, here it is right here, registered but permanently deferred.
So how can I?
They won't tell me. This has been going on now for 6 weeks.
It's your body. Why won't they tell you?
Yeah.
They won't. I've talked to about six different people at this institution down in Madison Street. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I talked to him, and I said, I got my Swedish doctor involved. He can't understand it either. And other than that, I have nothing wrong with me until I have that operation we just talked about.
Yeah.
And permanently deferred. And for 14 years, there was nothing wrong with my blood before.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, they said, we don't want your blood.
I don't get it.
I don't know. Huh. That's weird.
So strange.
I mean, you know, there are people that they cannot accept blood from. Obviously, people that carry contagious viruses. If you're HIV positive, you know, no, we don't want your blood.
Well, yes, but he's been donating regularly.
I understand.
And they didn't have a problem. And then all of a sudden, this new place.
Right.
And we won't tell him why.
Yeah, and that's the bizarre part.
Yeah. And I donate five times a year, about every 70 days I give. That's the only thing humanity I can give back. I don't volunteer anything else. And when the doctor put the register thing and we sent it to him, it said, he said here, HTN aortic valve D2, okay. Does not have hematomicrosis, okay. Authorized to donate whole blood, yes. With his name, signature, and everything. So I went down finally and talked to him last week. This is the first time I went physically down there instead of on the phone. They said, you have to get your doctor involved. And I said, my doctor is involved. He knows everything that was going on and the number of times I've talked to you people down there. And yet they still say to me, you're permanently deferred.
I have no idea why.
Has this ever come up before?
No. I mean, I've been doing this radio show for 26 years. You're the first person that's come with this particular complaint.
Right.
And obviously, I don't know what they're thinking or what's going on. I mean, there may be some change so that if you've had your heart valve, if you're on medications of some sort, it may be the medication that they don't want to accept you.
Wow.
But if so, they should say so.
Yeah.
I'm not in no medication. All I do is take B and A and C and D and the regular vitamins, minerals I've been taking for the last 30 years.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. My philosophy has always been, you know, my medical record is about your body, your life. You're entitled to a copy of it. Mm-hmm. We have always given our patients at Longevity Medical Clinic a copy of their medical record at every visit so that they know exactly what the doctor says about them, what the doctor's thinking about, what the doctor's planning, because nobody has a better right to know about your life and your body than you do. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just strikes me as astounding.
The last thing they says to me, the lady in charge, they had a couple of ladies in charge down at the blood center there, and I says, who gets the final stay? And she says, your doctor, your Swedish doctor, he can put his foot down and say, now, this is what I want Bob to get. And that's it. Is that true?
Should be. I mean, I don't know the internal policies of that company, clearly.
Well, sometimes when they decline to take blood from our patients for certain reasons, we do get the ability to say, we want you to override this hematocrit value and we want the patient to donate blood regardless.
Yes.
So, yes, in some scenarios, we do get to say the final word.
Yep. But, okay. You know, but we always know why.
Yeah,
I mean, they tell us why they're hesitant, and we tell them why we think it should be done anyway. Mm-hmm. So,
well, they're not saying why. I don't
know. And that just makes no sense to me, and I think it's bad policy. I disagree with it. Nobody has a better right to know about your life and your body than you do.
I would say to myself, I'm probably the Lone Ranger then.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. You know, I don't know what your doctor can do because I don't know what their internal policies are. And obviously, it's a private company. They can make whatever policy they want to. But I think they should be at least willing to tell you why. Hmm. So, but...
Hmm.
I'm sorry you're in that situation, my friend. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those things I get urge to slap somebody upside the head.
I know. They want blood all the time. And here somebody wants to donate and they won't take it.
I know.
Without telling them why.
Wow. It's no sense.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Sorry about that, Bob. Thank you for the call. We're going to go to break right now. Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat will return with your calls in just a moment. Here's that number to call in to get in the phone queue, 206-421-5757. We'll be right back in just a couple minutes. Stay right there.